Welcome to the Scuffed Podcast. I'm Adam Bells in Minneapolis. With me is Greg Velasquez in Des Moines. We talk about U.S. men's soccer. The U20 CONCACAF Championship, which doubles as the region's World Cup qualification tournament for men's U20s, kicks off in just over a month, November 1st. And we've got regular Scuffed visitor and all-star Joey Antone back to talk about the roster, a provisional version of which is due on Tuesday, October 2nd. That's a little under a week from now, so now is the time to talk about it. Joey, how are you?
I'm spectacular, Adam. Thanks for having me back on. I'm excited to talk about this with you tonight.
How's Omaha?
Omaha's great. I was actually in Denver over the weekend, and if none of the listeners have been to Denver lately, I highly recommend it. It's beautiful weather. There's tons of stuff to do, but it's always nice to come back to Omaha and see my family and hang out. So,
yes,
you're in Kansas City right now, are
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I'm in KC Mo. I'm at a conference. Yeah,
to all the guys and gals on the coast. I mean, you guys just don't know how good we have it in the Midwest. Denver, KC, Minneapolis, Omaha. I mean, you guys really got to travel the flyover country. It's beautiful in here.
Greatest cities on earth. You just named all four of them. Well, thank you for being here. And I think the first thing we should do with this roster is try to lay out the intricacies of this tournament and the roster rules, because it's not very simple. And the context is important as we sort of talk about the roster choices that Tab Ramos has ahead of him. Each nation must submit a provisional roster with 35 names on it to CONCACAF. That's the one that's due next week. And then 20 days later, Tab's going to have to settle on 20 players, including two goalkeepers, for the start of the tournament on November 1st. Thank you to, by the way, Brian Shiretta for explaining that last week on Twitter. Here's where it gets a little bit more complicated. The tournament is unusual in its format. There are six groups from CONCACAF, each with five or six teams in it. The group stage takes place between November 1st and November 10th, and the U.S. will play five matches over that span, a game every 2 days. So that's important to remember when you think about, you know, the sort of versatility that's needed on this roster. The six group winners advance to a qualification stage, which is another group stage. Two groups with three teams in each group. Everybody plays two games. You play the two other teams in your group, and then the top two teams in each group qualify for the World Cup. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah. I mean, it was confusing up until you just described it right there, but it's going to be an interesting conversation to have about exactly how we're going to line up 20 guys to play every 2 days. So.
Right, exactly. And then just to round out the tournament format, the two group winners in that second group stage, which they call the qualification stage, the two winners go to the final, which is November 21st, exactly 3 weeks after the start of the tournament. And then, you know, obviously the winner is the CONCACAF champion for men's U20s. Now, the qualification stage is where the 35-man provisional roster comes in, because after that initial group stage, each nation that advances can make up to six changes to their 20-man roster. So there are some serious moving parts for Ramos as he puts all this together, not to mention varying club interest in releasing players and all that. The good news is that the qualification stage mostly falls in an international FIFA window, so a few players who might not be released otherwise might be available when Ramos has a chance to make changes to his roster. So that's all the boring legal stuff. If you want to know any more, call your lawyer. Let's get into the sporting side as we discuss who could be on this 35-man roster, who will make the initial 20-man roster, and who will join the squad in mid-November, assuming that we make it to the qualification stage.
If we don't, something went horribly wrong.
Yeah, it'll be a tragedy, a disaster.
And that's where it comes into play a little bit, is you got to be smart with who you pick initially, because, again, a game every 2 days, you're not going to want your, you know, in my opinion, you won't want your elite guys in those games. There's going to be some, you know, tough challenges and some scrappy play, and some teams are going to try to get under the skin. So you don't necessarily want your all-stars from the get-go, but you're going to want guys that you know can do a job for you. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting. And that's why I think Ramos over the last couple of months has really developed a little bit of a deeper pool than we've seen in the last couple of years for the U-20s. So yeah, let's get into it. Right, Adam?
Yeah, that's the good news is the pool is deep. There are a lot of people to choose from. Why don't we start? Why don't we just jump in, start with the goalkeepers? Who do you have in your 20-man roster for goalkeeper?
So I have Brady Scott and Trey Muse. Muse is the Indiana University goalkeeper who was not involved in the most recent camp down in Florida with the U-20s and U-19s. I talked about Muse extensively on our preview podcast a couple months ago, and I've seen him a couple times in Indiana. Like I said, although he was not involved in the last camp, I still think he's got a high upside, and I think the coaching staff, you know, would trust. He's a 99, so he's a little bit older than some of the other goalkeepers he's competing against. You know, he's played with Seattle Sounders Academy. Mm-hmm. He's been in the youth teams before. So I think that, again, you're not going to want to ride Brady Scott every game in this first round, who's, I think, the clear number one at this point. But I think Muse is by far, in my opinion, the best backup goalkeeper in this pool, and a guy you could trust to kind of lead the defense. And I'm not sure that there's, you know, a clear cut leader from the back other than Scott and Muse, in my opinion. So I'll go with those two. And just a little ahead of the game here, I think that this is a spot where Ramos doesn't make any changes once we get out of the qualification stages. So I think both of those guys are guys that he could ride for the whole tournament.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I have a different two goalkeeper setup. I would say Scott and Dos Santos, but I'll just admit, I don't really know what I'm talking about. I don't have a strong opinion about it. I do really like Justin Garces, the Atlanta United goalkeeper. Is he playing in college somewhere now?
Yeah, he's at UCLA, and I just checked on his stats the other day. He's starting for UCLA, so he's not been he's not sitting on the couch anywhere, right? And he's highly talented. I don't think he was involved in that last camp with the U-19s and U-20s. No. I could be wrong.
You're right. Yeah. He was not. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think that was kind of an indicator as to maybe who they were looking at. But then again, I had Muse, and Muse wasn't in that roster either. I think both those guys are heavily involved with their college teams right now. And I'm sure Indiana or UCLA would hate to have those guys ripped away from them for a good month of, you know, really winning time for college soccer. I think that Dos Santos isn't a bad shout. Again, he's one of those players that we talked about last time who has U-17 experience. And again, same with Garces. When you get down to these tournaments playing these Central American teams, you're going to want a guy who's been there before. And Dos Santos and Garces have done that in these kind of environments with, you know, no atmosphere. And not sure you can say the same with Muse. I just like Muse's upside better. And I think he's the next goalkeeper from America heading to Europe too. So I think he'll use this as kind of a shop window type thing.
Okay, cool. Four pretty decent options there, and probably even more that we're not discussing, but.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Let's move on to center back.
Okay. Yeah. You go first. Who do you have?
Well, I have for my 20 man roster, I got Chris Richards, and Leonard, who's at Bayern Munich, of course, on loan from FC Dallas, and then Leonard Maloney, who is at Union Berlin, which is a two Bundesliga side, and he plays for their U-19s, the last I knew. You know, Richards would miss some games with the Bayern U-19s to come to this, but he also would miss a UEFA Youth League game, I believe, if he came to that this first part of the tournament. But I think Bayern will probably be okay with that, and I'm sure Tab is going to really be pushing to have him there. Maloney has been involved with all the recent camps that I can, as far as I know. And I think there are other center backs who would maybe surpass one or two of those who are not going to be available for this part of the tournament. And then my third center back, because you really can only have three in a 20-man roster like this, is Sam Rogers from Sounders 2. He was in the last camp, and he should be available. I don't think he has anything going on. So I'm not like super high on Rodgers, but but he's available. Tab seems to rate him. I think he'll probably be there. You go.
I echo what you say about Chris Richards. I think that Bayern Munich will let him go. He's obviously been a staple for that U19 team. I think he's started and played in every of the last four games for them. So I definitely think he's a fixture for the U19s. But I have to imagine that, again, when that transfer was set up or that loan was set up to Munich, that, again, Ramos was, on the outskirts, peeping in, making sure that a player like Richards would be available, because I think he's going to be one of the rocks this team leans on. And I think that you're going to want, just like we talked about goalkeeper, you're not going to want to make a lot of changes to your defense throughout the tournament. Those are guys that you're going to want to get a good, momentum going early and just really not make any changes. So I do have Richards in the initial 20-man roster. I also have Maloney. I think we talked about him initially after the preview pod a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. Getting him to come to that camp in North Carolina really signaled Ramos's and Berlin's intent to let him go to these qualifying matches. And I think he had a couple, he's had a couple good camps under his belt. So I definitely think he's involved in the center back position for Tab. But I do think that Mark McKenzie, the Philadelphia Union center back, will be released for the tournament.
Really?
He's only played 90 minutes over the last five or six games for Union. Granted, the last match they played, I think he played 90 minutes. And I know they're pushing hard, to solidify their place in the playoffs. And they're looking pretty solid right now. And they do have the Open Cup, I think they're playing. So their squad is stretched thin. But I think that, again, Tab's going to really emphasize a strong initial defense, in that first round, and then really not want to make many changes, especially to the center of defense. So I think the McKenzie, Maloney, and Richards get the call initially, and I think those are the guys he rides throughout the tournament too.
Interesting. What if Austin Trusty or Jack Elliott goes down with an injury in the first game of the playoffs, the Union still win? I mean, McKenzie is the very clear third choice at center back there.
Yeah, then I think you're right. I think Rodgers is definitely the next man up. He's had a good season in USL, and I think that, again, the last camp bringing him in with the U20 squad does signal the intent that they were trying him out for that spot. And maybe you're right. Maybe they do give him the initial the initial roster spot over McKenzie. I just look at it in like we'll talk about throughout this whole podcast. There's so much strategy that goes into developing this roster that I think that Tab's going to want to make many more changes in the offensive area of the field to where he's not going to want to tinker with his defense and make one of the six substitutions after the first round with a defender. So although a McKenzie to a Rodgers swapping out for a McKenzie is definitely an upgrade in the defense, in my opinion. I think he's going to want to upgrade offensive talent much more, especially considering you're going to have offensive players playing every two or three days. He's going to really want to freshen things up offensively, not making those changes on the defensive side.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let me ask you this about Richards. Is there any reading in the tea leaves that you can do on how his loan with Bayern is going? If they do release him for this whole tournament, and he plays this whole U20 tournament, is that a bad sign about how they rate him, as a prospect for someone to sign permanently at the end of the loan, because they have this loan to buy option with Richards?
No, I try to follow the U19 league and the Bundesliga fairly closely, and the region of which Bayern Munich play in, the Sud-West, is a pretty competitive league. There's a lot of Bundesliga teams that have U19 squads in there, so there's some pretty good talent. Mm-hmm. But if you look throughout Bayern Munich's last couple of years, as I have watching Timothy Tillman and some of the other players come through there, Munich really has no issue releasing their German players or their Austrian players or what have you for UEFA tournaments. And so I really don't think that they're gonna put up too much of a stink to let Richards come play over here for this qualification tournament, because it just seems like they're proactive in getting their players international experience. And, Bayern Munich has so many good prospects in the 2001, 2002, 2003 pools that they'll gladly play up in those U19 games. I don't think they'll really, put up too much of an issue with that. I could be wrong.
No,
and
okay.
I don't think that'll be a problem for Richards.
And it doesn't really indicate one thing or another about his future. Okay, cool.
No, I think they'd be more concerned if he wasn't getting called up to these games. Obviously, Tab likes Richards. Obviously, I think Richards is a starting center back for this team. But it, you know, having a player on loan from FC Dallas that's not getting international opportunities would be a concern for them. So I think, you know, just having him play at a high level wherever it is would be good for him.
Okay. Yes. All right. Yeah. Let's move to the fullbacks. So before we do that, just to clarify, you've got Richards, Maloney, and McKenzie. I've got Richards, Maloney, and Rogers, but not because I rate Rogers higher than McKenzie, but because I don't think McKenzie's going to be there. Fullbacks. Let's do fullbacks.
Yeah. So I have Manny Perez, Sam Vines, and Sergiño Dest as my fullbacks on the initial 20-man roster. We talked, you know, in the preview pod, I think I really rate Manny Perez. He's having a great year for NC State. You've talked in the past about the issues ripping players away from their college teams. I mean, obviously NC State's offense kind of runs through Perez, so that's going to be a deterrent for NC State. But again, that's Ramos's alma mater. He's very tied into that program. I think that the writing was on the wall that Perez was going to come back to NCAA soccer this year, but he was going to get the ability to get called up to these camps if he warranted it. And I think that, you know, even though there's some pretty promising right back talent in the pool, I think Perez is the starting right back. I think he's been a staple of this pool since it really originated. So Vines, you know, he's had a really good USL year. I think he's growing into his game. I think he could do a job for you. And I think he'll be one of those guys.
He's a left back, just to be clear.
Yeah. Left back. And he could play a little higher up the field, but he's definitely a left back, like kind of a left wing back. And I think he gets a lot of minutes against some of these smaller countries too, because I think he's maybe one of those players that maybe shifts out after the initial round. So I can see him logging a lot of minutes. He's got a lot of experience under his belt. And then Sergiño Dest has really had a good beginning to the year with Ajax. Mm-hmm. And he can play kind of anywhere on the field. He's played left back with the U-17s a while back. He can play right back, right winger. So he's got that versatility that you're going to look for on this roster. So those are my three wing back or full out wide defender kind of players.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not too different, but I do have a crucial difference here. I'm going to say Manny Perez. I agree with you. He's probably the starting right back. He's pretty clean on the ball and a good 1v1 defender, and he's got some bite in the attack. Chris Gloucester is going to be my left back, just because I think it's going to be easier to get him than it is going to be to get Sergiño Dest, because Dest has a busy beginning of the month in November. Now maybe Ajax will be fine with letting him go, but I guess I just don't know. There's plenty of uncertainty in this whole discussion. Then I've got Vines in there too as a left back, and for a lot of the reasons you described. But I've got a fourth fullback, and that's Julian Araujo, who played with the U-19s in the most recent tournament, you know, that four-team tournament where the U-19s actually won the tournament over the U-20s, Venezuela, and Jamaica. Araujo is a rising star. He's got in the 18 for the USL side in LA over the weekend. Didn't get on the field, but got in the 18. And I think his versatility is important too. He can play right back, but he can also play center back. He's a strong, fast kid. He looks a level up from his competition in the academy, just physically and as an athlete. And I know, you know, Brian Kleiben's obviously high on him in LA because he pulled him away from the Barca academy, and it seems that his stock is rising with Tab too. So that's my sort of gamble pick, that Araujo will be there, mostly because he can play two positions and he doesn't really have anything else going on in November, except for DA games, which, you know, who cares?
Yeah. And I don't even know if they're really playing him at that level, week in, week out, at this point anyway. So I think he was kind of promised a lot of USL minutes. And, while I think he'll still get some of those, you're right, he's got really nothing going on. So,
Because USL season will be over in a couple weeks, and
sure,
the LA Los Dos is not in the playoffs.
They should just get a free ride to the final with Efra Alvarez, who's, I mean, when you're watching USL, you're watching because of that kid, but right. I feel you. So you want to move into the midfield then?
Yeah.
Okay. So who are your kind of holding midfielder, center midfielder kind of players that you think are going to be on the initial 20-man roster?
This is where it gets really hard because I don't know who's going to be available, and there's a lot of players to choose from that have gotten looks over the last year. So I'm going to go with Brandon Cervenia. He got good reviews from the recent friendlies, from what I hear. I did not get to watch those games. I don't think most people didn't. He's playing with the Tulsa Roughnecks on loan from FC Dallas. He's a solid number six. So there's one. And then Andres Jimenez, who is playing with Envigado FC, which is a suburb of Medellin, Colombia. He's also holding mid, and he's gotten a lot of looks, seems to keep getting looks. I wasn't overly impressed with him in the times I saw him play, which was against France and some friendlies in February. But he seems to be rated highly, and he's going to be available. Like sort of moving up the field a little bit, I think Alex Mendez is, you know, a core member of this team, as much of a lock starter as anybody, I think. And he's going to be there. He doesn't have anything going on. He seems to not have anything to do with the Galaxy Academy anymore or the USL team. So we're just kind of waiting for him to announce where he's going to go in Europe. Taylor Booth. Again, no conflicts. He's at Bayern Munich, but he's not officially with the club yet. A quality central midfielder with not a ton of athleticism that I can tell, but a good player. And then Blaine Ferry, I've chosen to be there. I'm not at all confident he'll be there, but he also has a registration issue. He's at Greuther Fürth now in Germany. But he's not going to be able to play official competitions until the spring. And he's just a tough, durable center mid who can kind of play as a 10 or an 8. And, you know, he wins tackles and he can hit free kicks and does a lot of things well just to help a team win. And then sort of the best of the lot, in my opinion, is Richie Ledesma. And this is a key question, I think, for Tab Ramos and for all of us. As we hope and pray ahead of this tournament, will Ledesma be healthy for it? Because he has a foot injury, and you know, if you follow him on Instagram, you see he's been on crutches a little bit lately. So he may not be healthy, but if he is healthy and he's back, he's starting in that midfield probably with Mendez and Cervenia.
Okay, that was my question to you. Who's your starting six in that rotation? So you say Cervenia. And then ahead of that, you'd play 2 8s. That's how you see them kind of lining up.
Yeah, but Ledesma's a little bit of a 10-ish kind of 8.
Sure.
And, you know, Mendez definitely has some attacking quality.
You think Mendez could captain this team? You think he's the kind of kid that would be the captain? Because I think the captain comes from the initial 20-man. I think there's some better players that come in after the first-round stage. I think you're going to want somebody like one of the leaders of the team to be there from the onset. And while like Durkin maybe has more, I don't know, caps or reputation with the youth teams, I think that I'll again just underscore your point that Mendez is by far and away, when you just look at some of the players who's available and who's kind of committed to this process, I think Mendez is the guy that I look to continually that's, you know, if not the star player, kind of the talisman of the team, the guy that all the other players seem to get along with really well, and somebody that's going to be there, playing as many minutes as possible. So,
I don't know if he could be the captain. Do you remember if he was a captain for the Galaxy's academy side?
No, I think it was. I don't think so. It was either was it the kid longer than one of the center backs, maybe, or
yeah, I honestly don't remember.
I don't know. Maybe he was. I can't remember. Yeah. Yeah, he's really grown up over the last year as a professional, and I think that he's gained a lot of respect from the players in this pool. So I have to imagine that the coaching staff's really seen that too. But
yeah, I mean, nothing warms my heart like seeing a picture of Mendez, Richards, Soto, and Dest together on Instagram, profiling in front of a mirror. That is America right there.
That's my America.
Yeah.
Right there. Yeah.
And, totally. And I like all those players. And so, I mean, I have no insight into it, but if Mendes is the captain, that would be thrilling to me.
Yeah. I get behind that.
It could, I mean, I assume Richards is probably in that conversation for the players that we've talked about so far. But I don't know.
Yeah, Richards, Perez, maybe, and then Durkin too. Those are the guys I see as kind of like core, really core guys. I'll give my
give your midfield.
Midfield, and then I want to touch on Ledesma a little bit after that too. But my kind of central midfielders that I think will be on the 20-man roster. I got Juan Pablo Torres from Lokeren in Belgium. You know, he was involved in the last camp. I think he's tidy on the ball and, you know, can connect the offense to defense. And I think that he'll be involved initially. I think Chris Gosselin, although he might've slipped a little bit over the last year, really not getting a lot of run with the MLS side. And then, you know, obviously getting a little less than with the USL side than I think we would all like him to. I still think he's a key guy to this team. Cervenia, I agree with you. I think he's definitely somebody that can hold down that role. While I think Durkin comes in, during the money round, I think Cervenia is a guy that can do a job for this team. I agree with you on Mendes. All your points, I will reiterate that I think, obviously, in my eyes, I think he's the captain of this team and the star player. And then I think George Acosta did enough over the last camp, from what I heard, to kind of earn a call-up. And then a little bit out of left field, I'll take one more central midfielder, Isaac Anking, the New England Revolution homegrown player. I heard he had a really good camp for the U19s.
Huh.
He was instrumental in helping them win the tournament. I asked some of those players who they thought had a good camp, and Anking was not unanimous, but he was one of the guys that was continually brought up for having a good camp. He's pretty physical. He was played as the number 10 a lot, which surprised me because obviously Acosta's with Boca Juniors. He's, you know, been the long-term 10 for that 2000. U.S. youth national team kind of pool. But Anking's really come up late, and I think they like utilizing him in that role as well, and maybe getting Acosta a little bit off the ball out wide a little bit too. So, again, the players were kind of letting me know that he was a guy that had a pretty good camp.
I'll put him in there.
And then quickly on Ledesma, you know, I know he's been on crutches and boots. I know he's still nursing an injury, and I don't think he'll be ready for the qualifying phases. There's nothing official there. I just don't think he'd be ready for it from his injury standpoint, nor do I think we should rush a guy like that back for this phase. You know, playing some of the teams off the top of my head, it's what? Suriname, St. Vincent Grenadines, I believe. You know,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah, who's what, the biggest squad we play? You know, I'm not sure I want to put Ledesma's feet in those matches, you know, every 2 days. And I think that you're going to want guys in this 20-man roster that you're going to play. Mm-hmm. You can't just kind of stash a guy on this roster. You're going to have to play everybody. And I really worry about a guy like that rushing back, playing in some games against players who are not of his level. You're worried that you're just going to do more long-term damage. And the guy is obviously headed over to Europe soon. I'm sure that his club in Europe will want him as healthy as possible. And I'm not sure they'll want him playing against,
Suriname.
Lower class players kind of thing. So I definitely don't think he's on the 20-man roster. If it is, his injury is obviously almost all healed because, I don't see them putting him out there if he's not anything outside of 100%.
Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Good points. I guess we just don't know how serious his injury is or, you know, how far along he is in the recovery. So, you know, if he's getting close to doing some running, doing some straight line running right now and has a full month to get his fitness back, then, you know, he could be there. But you're right. It doesn't seem that that's super likely.
I'm not sure he's close. I'll say that. Okay. I don't think he's close. And I still think he has a large part to play in this U20 squad. I think he could be back for the knockout phases, but again, I don't think they're going to rush him back because of everything he's got on the line recently. So it's kind of a bummer because again, when we were talking earlier a couple months ago, he's a guy with Mendes I saw as like, you know, Carlton's been a name for a long time in this camp. Obviously Sargent and Weah and Adams, those are all guys eligible for this U20 team, but really as of the last year, no, there's been really no hotter prospect in this pool than Mendes and Richie Ledesma. So it'd be a bummer for him not to participate in this qualification. Considering in the past, we just chalked these things up to automatic qualifications, which has not always been the case for the U-20s, but even less so now. I'm always sweating these things out a little bit more with the senior men's national team failing to get through. So
yeah,
you're gonna want your best players at all times, you know?
Yeah. Well, good points though. You've persuaded me that Ledesma's probably not going to be in the first 20. Should we move on to wingers and strikers?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Why don't you go first?
Okay. So I was a little heavy on some of the center midfielders in this initial roster. Mainly, I haven't researched some of the other teams they'll be playing, but I don't think they're going to have a real problem scoring goals. So I think that you're really going to be able to ride some of these guys pretty hard. I got Shaft Brewer, who's been a staple of the pool since it really was formulated a couple years ago. Ayo Akinola, I think, is in pretty good form. Yulianez, I think he'll be a player that will grab a couple goals. And then, I guess those are my wingers that I think will be able to ride heavily in that first round. I do think a majority of those guys will be subbed out after the first round phase. So I think those guys will log some heavy minutes in those first five games.
I don't particularly rate Brewer. So I acknowledge he'll probably be there, but he's not my choice. I'll go with Yanez, Andrew Carlton, and Paxton Pomacall on the wings, and I'll throw Akinola in there too. I also don't particularly rate him, but I recognize that he can score goals and he's physical presence. He can play both striker and winger, so that'll be useful, you know, in case our striker gets injured. But Pomacall is just will have nothing going on, and you know he's a playmaker. At his best, he's a playmaker. It seems to be pretty effective against his own age group, not yet effective against professionals. And then Giannis is the truest winger in the whole pool.
For sure.
And Carlton, so you may think Carlton won't be there because, I mean, somebody might say, well, he won't be there because Atlanta United is going to be rolling its way through the playoffs. And I guess that's possible, but he wasn't even in the 18 a week ago for a match. He was in the 18 last weekend and didn't play. He hasn't played very much at all lately. He seems to be the fourth or the second wing option off the bench. Maybe it's fair to say he's the third wing option off the bench because Brandon Vasquez will come in before him and so will Ezequiel Barco. So I just don't know if Atlanta will really care if he goes. And I know Tab Ramos will want him there if he can get him. So I have him in my first 20.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I definitely think that the reason I kept Carlton off the first roster wasn't because I thought he'd be with Atlanta. I just, again, I think that these first five games, I don't think the mission will be to play some attractive football. You know, I think that it'll be just kind of one of those just get through it type things. And while Carlton has tons of skill and should really outclass any of the players from the other team, especially in this first five games, I think you're going to want more of a pragmatic approach to these games and guys that are physical, not going to get shut up off the ball. They're not looking to play pretty and score the world's best goal, just get the job done. And I'm not saying Carlton can't do that. I just think that, you're not going to want to put him in matches every other day. Because you're going to need him when it's time to, you know, to qualify in the last six. So he's one of my guys that I'm bringing in, but not a guy that I have initially playing in the roster.
Okay. Who's your striker then?
So I have two. I'm bringing Justin Renex, the Indiana forward. I'm riding hard for him. I've watched him play with Muse a couple times this year on television. Again, he's another player that I think can do a job for you in this initial phase of qualification. I don't think he'll be long for the squad, but I do think that he'll be involved initially. And then unlike what I told you a couple months ago, I do think Sebastian Soto will be released for the qualification tournament. So I think he's obviously the starting forward, a guy that you're going to want in the big games in that initial qualification phase and obviously a long-term striker moving forward. So those are my two. Yep. How about you?
Soto's got... Yeah, that's Soto's my only striker, my only pure striker. He's got 8 goals in 7 matches for Hanover. So it all checks out so far, you know. He's getting the job done. And he had 2 goals and an assist against Hertha Berlin over the weekend. And, you know, that's a pretty good U19 side that they beat 5-0. It really surprised me that it was that kind of game, because Hertha Berlin is one of the better U19 sides in that northern division of the U19 Bundesliga. So, yep, Soto's on my list. And I think Hanover will let him go. They don't have UEFA Youth League to worry about. He would miss 2 matches with the U19s. But, you know, I don't think that really matters that much.
Yeah, and he's played all but 4 minutes, according to my calculations, for their U19 team. So it's obviously a player that they rate highly. Obviously a guy they're excited to have in their setup, but agreed, kind of echoing what we said about Chris Richards. I think that teams like that value the experience that you're going to get playing internationally, whether that's against Italy or Suriname. I think that there's value in that. I think they'll see that and give him his release.
Okay. All right. So assuming this group of 20 rolls through the first 5 games, wins the group, heads on to the qualification stage, who's your first guy that's going to be brought in, and who will he replace? As Tab has a chance to make 6 changes after the initial group stage and the qualification stage. Who's your first change?
Yeah, my first change is I think that Ramos will bring in Jalen Lindsay from Sporting Kansas City for Sam Vines. Lindsay has some versatility, can play either side of either, you know, fullback, wingback spot. And so I think he'll be brought in for Vines. I think, like I said, Vines is competent enough to play long term, but I think that I think Lindsay's, you know, been vocal in his participation with U20s. I think although I think that Sporting Kansas City rates him, I think he'll get maybe some minutes with him. And I know they're in a playoff hunt, squarely in the playoffs. I think he's made it clear that he wants to be involved in the World Cup qualifying, at least on social media. So I think he'll be a guy that will be one of the changes for Ramos initially.
Do you really think Sporting KC's going to let him go as they're in the middle of the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean,
they could lose in the first 2 rounds.
Yeah, I don't know their depth chart too well. You know, I know that they have some pretty qualified players ahead of him. You know,
I mean, he's the backup. He's the backup right back and the backup left back.
Yes, and I know, like I said, yeah. So obviously, there's some issues there. I really think Ramos wants to win this tournament. I think that he's a guy that he thinks is his best. Either, I think, you know, his best left back in his opinion, and maybe even better than Perez on the right long term. But I think that Perez and Lindsay on the outside is what Ramos wants in those, you know, in those money phases. So I think he'll be a guy that he wants to bring in. I definitely think he'll be on the 35-man provisional roster. And if he's on that roster, it's because they want him there for that last stage.
Yeah. Okay.
How about you?
Well, I agree with him being desired, you know, to be in that lineup for that qualification stage. I guess the only doubt I have is whether Sporting KC will let him go. I have McKenzie coming in. So you had McKenzie in your 20-man roster.
Yeah.
I have him coming in for Rodgers. So ultimately we're going to have the same three center backs, you and I, and we did not collude. We did not collude on this.
We did not.
So that's my choice. I think McKenzie's good for a U20 center back. You know, struggled a bit in Major League Soccer with the Union and has essentially lost his starting spot. But that doesn't mean he's not an effective center back at the U20 level. And it's not a very deep position for the U.S. right now.
And I think he pairs well with Richards, too. I think those two, you know, McKenzie at the left back, left center back spot, and Richards at the right center back spot. I think that's that would be an area of strength for this team. So I agree with you there.
Yeah, I mean, there would be an area of strength, those two, but I think the point stands that after them, and, you know, Maloney, who I'm not super familiar with, I should be honest about that.
Yeah, me neither, yeah.
Outside of those three, the center back choices are very thin. It's not a great position.
Not right now, not in those two age groups. You really would have to stretch to a 0-1, really, to get maybe a high prospect within the pool. So, yeah, they're going to need those guys to do work. for sure.
Okay, who's your second change?
So I think Durkin will be brought in. I think Juan Pablo Torres is the guy that will make way for Durkin. Again, I know that DC is skyrocketed since we talked last about this roster.
They have. They were like second to last place in the league.
They were. I mean, the Rooney effect, really. I've watched them play, and I know Russell Canales has really come on like gangbusters lately and maybe knocked some Durkin minutes off of some playing time minutes. But I still think Durkin's – yeah, I think Durkin's the leader of this – you know, if Mendez isn't the captain, I think Durkin's the leader of this group. And so I think they're definitely going to advocate for him to be involved at this stage. That said, if DC's pushing with their lack of success over the last couple of years, I'm not sure how willing they're going to be able to part with somebody with like him who could really do a job for them in the playoffs. So that'll be interesting to watch, but I think he'll come in.
Yeah. You know, I think the good news on that front is he maybe doesn't feel as crucial to for me for this squad as he did when we talked in July. You know, I think the ascendance of Mendez at the eight and Ledesma. I mean, Ledesma's already good in July, but yeah, for some reason, back in July, I was thinking like without Durkin, they're not going to have any sort of semblance of cohesion in that midfield. And I'm not so sure I feel quite as dire about a Durkin-less U-20 squad at this point.
I disagree. I think without him, I think there's definitely a drop-off between Cervenia or Torres or Gosselin or whoever's in that spot without him. So I will say, you know, I meant to touch on this earlier. We both had Taylor Booth in our roster, and I think he'd be the youngest player along with Giannis on the roster. I know you have Araujo as well, but I know Booth got hurt in the U.S. U-20, U-19, Venezuela, Jamaica camp thing lately. But there was a couple people, coaches in attendance in that game, and they raved about Taylor Booth. And he didn't get a lot of minutes before he got injured, but a lot of the people that I talk with at that level were saying that they think that Taylor Booth's the best number six in this pool prior to his injury. I've reached out to some people to see if they think Taylor Booth will be back in time for qualifying, and they think tentatively he'd be back. I never saw Booth as a number six. I guess my idea of a six is different than a lot of people's, but a Booth, Ledesma, Mendez midfield is what a lot of the people were talking about down at that camp in Florida the other weeks. So definitely something to watch. I think he'll be back and ready to go. And if he can play that six spot the way Ramos wants him to play, and he feels comfortable with some of the defenders he's got behind him, because I think Durkin's a better defender than Booth. Again, a Booth, Ledesma, Mendez midfield. There's lots of quality on the ball there. So,
we could run a game with those three. Yeah.
Yeah. I worry about teams counterattacking us with that triad in the middle. But yeah, there's some quality there. You said it from the beginning. He's got nothing going on. So I do think he'll be a staple of this team. He's got experience with the U-17s and these kind of qualifying tournaments. So definitely a player to watch. I still think Durkin's integral to the success. I think it'd be an uphill battle to win this tournament without him against a Mexican team that's high in quality. So I think they need him to win that match if they're going to win it. So
yeah, okay. I mean, I can agree. Yeah. I mean, I agree that the team will be better with Durkin.
Sure. Yeah, but you don't feel as bad without him. You don't think we're going to suck without him like we did. Thought about
right. Yeah. Not quite as bad as I would have thought. So my second change would be Serginho Dest in for Sam Vines. You had him in your 20. I don't have him in my 20 just because I thought it would be tough for him to get away from Ajax for those five games. But I do think his versatility, his toughness, his solid 1v1 defending, it's just too much to leave at home for the whole tournament, and he'll be coming in for Vines.
Yeah, good shout.
And then I'll just quickly say I have Durkin coming in for Jimenez, who is sort of my. You had him coming in for Torres. I have him coming in for Jimenez, sort of half a dozen one way, six the other. Yeah. That is assuming DC United doesn't make a run in the playoffs, because he really is, you know, he's one of the first guys off the bench for them if somebody gets injured or if they need to like see out a game. So, like you said, he's going to make the team better. Hopefully he can join up for the qualification stage.
Excellent.
That's three changes for each of us, right?
I think I just listed two.
Oh, give me your third.
My other four just kind of all play into the same kind of theory. So I have Nick Tadigy in for Shaft Brewer, Andrew Carlton in for Isaac Anking, Paxton Pomacall in for George Acosta, and Richie Ledesma for Justin Renix. And again, there I'm kind of replacing with Brewer, Anking, and Renix, just guys that are going to do a job, not going to get shoved off the ball, fairly physical, not guys that are going to try to do too much on the ball. And you're going to bring in some more creative flair players with Tadigy, Carlton, and Ledesma. So I'm bringing those three in. Granted, again, not sure how healthy Ledesma is going to be, but I think he's definitely a guy that if he's anywhere, if he's close to 100%, maybe you bring him in for those final two, three games. And then I think Pomacall is an upgrade for George Acosta at that creative spot too. And there's a little more versatility with Pomacall. So those are my last four changes. Again, all offensive kind of firepower bringing in late.
Okay. Well, I'll just say quickly, I have Tadigy, however you say it, coming in for Pomacall. I don't feel confident about that at all. I think Tadigy just had another injury, didn't he, a few weeks ago?
He did, yeah. And again, such a disappointing thing. I think we were worried a while back, would he be available for this? Would Schalke make him available for this tournament? And I was, worried that they wouldn't. I don't think they're going to have any problem releasing him if he's at all healthy. Right. Not his health is more the question at this point for him getting called up. Because I definitely think he's a game changer, especially at this level. He was pretty... he tore up the U19 Bundesliga last year when he was fit. I think he really was impressive on the ball at a high level with them. So I think that if he's back to anywhere near his fitness, bringing somebody like him in to run at defenses in that last round would be pretty helpful. But you're right, his health along with Ledesma's really is now a big question mark for the U20 pool offensively moving forward.
My other two changes, which we can sort of debate here, are Jonathan Amon coming in for Blaine Ferry and Josh Sargent coming in for Akinola. Now these would be big guns to bring in for the U20 squad, because I think they both probably belong on the senior side right now. And we could see Dave Sarakin call up Jonathan Amon. I would be surprised if he is not called up for the next round of friendlies. So that might, put a pin in that whole discussion. But he'd be a nice guy to bring in if we want to really bring our A game for that qualification stage and sort of send a message to the rest of the region. Sargent still hasn't broken in at Werder Bremen in the first team. This will be in an international window. If he's not in the first team by this time at Werder Bremen, I think there's a good chance he'll be playing with the U20s again. I have no inside knowledge on that, but it makes sense in my little brain.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I wouldn't turn away either one of those players, but I'll go back to what you said earlier. I mean, I think those guys are going to be more involved with the full men's national team at that point. And, I was putting this together a couple weeks ago. We started talking about this. I thought that the winger pool was a little deeper, but with some of the injuries sustained over the last couple weeks, a guy like Jonathan Amon might be a necessary player to have out wide for some of the more high profile games at the end of this tournament. So definitely a good shout. I don't think Sargent, even though, Ramos is on record as saying that those are guys that he might be getting available for this tournament, I don't think that Sargent's going to be a U20 player in November.
Ever again, maybe.
I can't see him hanging around to play for the U20 World Cup next year. I think that by next year, the U.S. men's national team, whether he's ready or not, is going to need him to play at that level. So I really don't think that he'd be doing a lot of service coming down and playing in the U20 World Cup. So, and hopefully if Soto continues to progress and maybe some of the other nines a little bit younger continue to grow, maybe we don't need him at this level. And again, Sebastian Soto's last 9 to 12 months have really helped ease that transition out of Sargent needing to play in this tournament. So
yeah, that is true. So I guess the key questions from my perspective, now that we've got our changes all listed. Will Ledesma be healthy? Who's going to make the playoffs, and will MLS teams release players? And I think that applies to McKenzie, Lindsay, Durkin, Carlton, and Paul McCall to a very, very small extent.
Sure.
And then how much will our German and Dutch allies cooperate with Tab Ramos? I feel pretty confident, I think you do too, that Richards, Maloney, Soto will be released. Dest will be released for at least some of it. And you don't even have Gloucester in your 26, do you?
I don't, no. And I thought about that heavily. And I guess I really I struggled with that over the last couple of days because I know it was pretty heavily played at the left back spot with U20s, I believe, in the recent. It wasn't even with the U19s. I think he was bumped up to the U20s as a 2000. So obviously that's maybe an oversight by me.
No, I'm not saying it's an oversight.
No, because I was looking him up and he hadn't been playing for Hanover the last couple of weeks of some of their matches, but it's because he was playing with Hanover 2. Yeah. I think he got 90 or he got some minutes with the Hanover 2 spot. So
at least a couple of times, at least a couple of games he played 90 for them.
Obviously, in Hanover's mind, his barrier to playing first team minutes is, can he cope with bigger players? Because at the U19 level, he looked in some of the clips that I was watching, he looked to be playing at a high level against his peers. So I guess they want to see him against some bigger players like he would play against in the Bundesliga. So obviously they rate him, and he's a guy probably going to be involved in the in this qualification tournament. So. Definitely a good call by you. I thought about that, and I just didn't have him on there.
I mean, there's plenty of fullback possibilities, so that's a good thing.
There is, and again, there's a lot of versatility with some of those guys too, which is beneficial for 5 games in 10 days. So, But you're right. The MLS thing, that's just going to have to play itself out. Which guys are in the playoffs and which guys aren't, and then how much is Ramos going to have to rally to get him made available at whatever point they need. And like you said, I think most of the guys from abroad will get their release for the most part. I do not think Sargent will be made available. I think Amon will be involved with the men's national team at that point too. Ledesma's health. Like I said, I'm not confident he'll be 100% by the beginning of this tournament. So I think he'll definitely be on the provisional roster, but I'm not sure he makes the 20-man initially. So.
And may not make any of it, sounds like.
Well, yeah. If he's not 100%, against some of the teams that actually want to play soccer, I wouldn't necessarily have a problem him going out there. But against some of the teams that are just maybe looking to get under the skin of the U.S. or play a more physical game and knock him off the ball, with all his, he's got a lot of potential riding on a move to Europe. I don't know if he'd want to jeopardize that by playing in some lower quality games. So maybe when push comes to shove, when we need him against Mexico, we get a guy like that in. But he's definitely one of the core guys for this pool. I just hope he's back to fitness.
Okay. Anybody miss the cut for you? Just missed the cut. Who you think bears mentioning?
Let me just look at my list again. Not really. I think Frankie Amaya, the kid from UCLA, again, a guy that we were pretty high on a couple months ago. He's had an up and down start with UCLA. He hasn't lit it up out there like I think we were hoping he would. He was involved in the last camp, but he's a guy that might be on, or I could see being on the 35-man roster, maybe squeezing into the 20-man. But Ferry, again, he made an appearance on the 20-man roster recently. A couple of other age-eligible players that are kind of making waves across the pond are obviously Ben Letterman's at Ghent now in Belgium. He's a 2000 playing with their reserve side as the number 10.
Scored a goal a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah, and again, he he's under the massive weight of being the kid that signed to Barcelona when he was 12. So anything that's not Barcelona at 20 is seen as a disappointment for him. But if we're taking any of these other players and putting them on a reserve side in Belgium scoring goals, maybe we look at them higher than we would a Letterman because he comes from a prestigious academy. Gennaro Negro is a left back with Roma. He played at PDA last year. He's gotten some appearances with them in the UEFA Youth Leagues.
And that's a big deal, right? I mean,
that's big deal. But yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, just that he's that he went over there and he's like immediately on the field with the U19s. That's
something. Got some minutes with the friendly with their first teams. So it's a guy that they obviously see quality in. Again, any other year, a kid playing left back for Roma's U19 team might be a lock for our left back. But with some of the depth we have, I just don't think he's in the picture. I don't think he's been integrated enough to really warrant a call up at this point. I think if there was anybody that was going to come from off the radar, they would have been involved in the last U19, U20 camp a couple weeks ago. So
there's a certain level of diminished returns at this point to over tinkering or bringing in somebody totally cold. Probably isn't there.
I mean you're gonna have to explain the setup. You know, these guys have, some of the core guys have played together for almost 2 years, and so I can't see anybody kind of bursting onto the scene at this point. If there was a guy that was going to kind of burst into this pool, it would have had to have been done late summer, early, you know, or this last camp, like Maloney did, a guy that kind of came out of nowhere and is now kind of seen as a staple to this team. One last guy I want to talk about, Matt Real, the kid from Philadelphia. He's battling an injury right now, was called up to the last camp, but couldn't make it because of injury. He's a guy that I think that Tab really liked at the left back spot, been involved with number of camps. But again, I just couldn't find a lot of information on his injury or what was keeping him out of playing. He really had kind of fallen off the first team roster with the Union, but a guy that really had been seen as a key member of the U20 pool over the last year and a half. So not really sure what his injury is, but again, guys like Gloucester, Vines have really come on strong lately. So maybe knocked him off the perch a little bit.
Yeah. Gloucester, Vines, Lindsay,
Dest.
I mean, there's just a lot of options. And that's part of why I don't think, you know, George Bello, who might be deserving of a spot in this roster just on sporting merit, if he played center back, maybe Tab Ramos takes a flyer on him and brings him into this last camp. But he plays left back, a position that is not particularly weak. So yeah. He's probably not going to get involved either. Maybe for the World Cup next year. Who knows?
That's nice to say, isn't it? You know, a deep left back pool at the U20 level.
Yeah, right. Well, you got any other thoughts on this?
Not really. I'm excited to see how that goes. I'm sure we're going to get some streams of these games. And man, for a youth national team junkie like me, 5 games in 10 days sounds awesome.
Yes.
For a player, that just sounds brutal. And I really can't believe that.
It's silly that they have
CONCACAF making these guys do that, honestly. And with such a small roster, and I know you've gone on record talking about it on your podcast before, but they're, you know, trying to help some of the smaller nations by not having large rosters really, really does jeopardize some of these players' careers, you know? So it'll be definitely a lot of strategy going on for how Ramos sets up his 35-man roster and then weeds it down to 20 based on how he can navigate those first 5 games.
The good news, yeah, I agree with all that. The good news is the games will be played on pretty nice fields at the IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. So it's not like they're going to be playing on a cow pasture or something.
It's definitely a plus for some of the football I'm sure these guys are going to want to play.
Yeah. But yeah, there's going to have to be some pretty smart rotation from Tab and some thinking on the fly, because somebody's going to get hurt. You know, people are going to get knocks and have to take a day off. So it'll be interesting to see. And I think you're right when you say the goal is not going to be to tiki taka around the field. It's going to be just to get results and get to that qualification stage.
I think you're going to see some pretty nasty, not nasty, maybe unpretty, just pragmatic football in the first 5 games. You're not going to see us do a lot of crazy stuff. And again, that
unpretty, might play. That's unpretty is going in the episode title.
Sure. I mean, that could play into some of these other squads' hands. You know, there's quality even in, even by far more than the other squads have in the 20 that we listed. And those guys are going to want to play somewhat nice. But at some point, you're just going to want to get the job done and get the result, move on. So,
yeah. Conserve energy.
Really? Yeah, really. You will.
Okay. Well, thank you, Joey. Thank you very much. And everybody be sure to tune in on November 1st for that first game. I forget who it's against. I think it might be Puerto Rico. And thanks everybody for listening.